The following message is by Pastor John Piper. More information from Desiring God is available at www.desiringgod.org.
Naomi and Elimelech, with their two sons, went to Moab. Elimelech died. Mahlon died. Chilion died. The one daughter-in-law, Orpah, says farewell. Ruth cleaves to Naomi, and in her bitterness, they go back to Bethlehem. And 70 years later, Obed is about 70 years old, and David, King David, to be, is about 8, and they are having a conversation with each other still. Grandpa, when I put my 3 sheep down in the fold tonight to sleep, can you stay here and tell me more about great-grandma Ruth before I go to bed? Naomi said, because Elimelech was dead and both her sons, that when she came to Bethlehem again, there would be bitter memories and nothing more. Are these the only things, Grandpa, that she could see, just grief? Seems to me that God was doing more. Indeed, he was. But David, sometimes creed can't keep up with the speed of pain and has to make the meaning plain when suffering slows down. You know what I mean? I think it's too complex, Grandpa. I mean that what Naomi knew of God was not rejected when she wept her way back home to Bethlehem. The day would come when tortoise faith would catch the bounding hare of pain and match his power, not his pace, and win. Judge not from how the two begin. Does that make sense? I think it does. But Grandpa, tell me what it was that turned it all around and made Naomi glad again. She prayed. And David, when she prayed, God did 100 miracles and bid a barley field become a place of quiet power. And there the race of faith was won. My dad, your great-grandfather Boaz, conquered hate and loved a Moabite beneath the wings of God, and did bequeath Naomi thus more faith than she had ever known or thought could be. Oh, Grandpa, that's the part that most of all I'd like to hear. I'll post the gate and put the sheep away, and you can eat with us, okay? I have a better plan. You get permission from your dad to let you spend the night with me, and we'll go down to my house and see the very place, the barley field, where 7 decades past, God sealed a kind of love that's known by few between a Moabite and Jew. And David, did you know that your great-grandpa Boaz has a pure and faithful memory of what it cost him then? And there's a lot of love still left, though he turns 99 this year and cannot see or walk, but line on line he knows the story of his Ruth and how they came to love each other when the barley yield was ripe and they met in the field. I think you're old enough to go and visit him, but he won't know your name or who you are, so bring your harp and maybe we can sing our way into his mind and set some memory on wing and get the treasure up from his heart to his lips. At dusk, the east wind blew, and as the sun was going down, the two approached the little town of Bethlehem and made their way around the soft and splashing bay of blowing barley waves. The house was small, for neither had a spouse. A servant in the loft and 2 old men can manage with a fox's den, Obed used to say when folks would pester him to try to coax the 2 of them to live at home with Jesse's family. I roam the local hills at my own pace, he said. and come back to my place. Tonight, Boaz was by the fire and wrapped in blankets for attire. Young David stood in awe that here was his own flesh, who in a year would have a century of life on earth, and one whose wife was his great grandma Ruth. He took his harp and cradled in the crook of his small arm the music of a family century of love. When Boaz heard the song that he and Ruth had sung for 63 unbroken years, he blinked his blind and glassy eyes, and in his face a kind of deep and strong and gentle joy began to shine. "Come here, my boy," he whispered. David stopped and sat down at the old man's feet. "Is that a story you would like to know?" he asked. "How Boaz long ago became the husband of a maid from Moab, even though he swayed a city with his wealth?" "Yes, sir, I would. Why did you marry her?" "It wasn't easy, child, at least for some. A woman from the east and not a Jew was barely good enough to be a slave and would not enter any mind to be a wife. My father couldn't see what I could see. I still recall his speech. 'Boaz, the gall to bring this on our family. The girl's a Moabite, and she's got no name. She was a slave, and Chilion, a rebel knave, to buy her as a virgin just to pique his mother in his lust. And don't you know, Boaz, the way her people got their start? Don't say it was a noble thing that Lot was drunk and lay down on his cot with his own daughter. She deceived her grieving father and conceived a child by incest, and his name? Moab. A people born in shame. And Boaz, will you sacrifice your name? By that price, raise up a seed to Chilion, so there is nothing when I'm gone? And while I live, will you disgrace my silver head and go abase yourself to marry such a thing and even use your mother's ring?" He paused as if the sting were still alive. I never will forget those words. "Great-grandpa, how did you reply?" I said to him, "It's true that she's a Moabite and that her husband was an apostate at the core, and that she was a slave and has no highborn name to save from stigma and contempt. And should the sin of Lot destroy the good for every generation, then there is no good in any man. I bid you, Father, think with care, lest you forget the evil pair 5 generations past that bore our father Perez at the door of harlotry. Incest is not unique to Moabites. We got our life from Tamar's little trick to get his seed. Pick your people, tongue, tribe, for none is pure from disrepute, not one. But Father, have you thought about what Ruth is like inside? I doubt that in 1,000 Israelites, one has embraced our God with heights of faith, one half as free and great as she. Do you desire a mate for me with Jewish nose and skin, or sacred Jewish faith within? And is there not more fruit in her than can be hidden with a slur? For those who care about the truth, there is none fairer than my Ruth. They all can see her love for God, how she was born, how she has borne the biting rod and loved Naomi without pay and worked throughout the blistering day and gathered only where the poor may glean and kept her garments pure among the men. This woman lives beneath the wings of God. It gives me more delight to share the shame of faith and love than save my name. I love you, Father. And I pray that you will look at her another way. Great-grandpa, sir? Yes, son? I'm glad you married her. Me too. I think I better sleep now, son. I'm sure the rest will keep until tomorrow. Though despite how much I could say, good night. And meanwhile, in the darkness here where tribes and races hate and fear, O Lord, let Bethlehem ignite a flame of truth. And let us fight with love and joy to make it plain that family links are not a chain. And origins do not control. Half images are not the whole, nor true, and take a rending toll. Beneath the skin there is a soul. And may we lift this light and truth for Boaz and for every Ruth.
Thank you for listening to this message by John Piper, pastor for preaching at Bethlehem Baptist Church in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission. We invite you to visit Desiring God online at www.desiringgod.org. There you'll find hundreds of sermons, articles, radio broadcasts, and much more, all available to you at no charge. Our online store carries all of Pastor John's books, audio, and video resources. You can also stay up to date on what's new at Desiring God. Again, our website is www.desiringgod.org. Or call us toll-free at 1-888-346-4700. Our mailing address is Desiring God, 2601 East Franklin Avenue, Minneapolis, Minnesota, 55406. Desiring God exists to help you make God your treasure, because God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him.